And yeah, I don't know if it helps because recording, like, this is not something that really you could listen to. It has to be live. Right, so it's one thing. So there's lots of things that it could be. Lack of patience. For a person.
Could it be someone else?
It can't be someone else.
No.
It cannot be lack of a husband, lack of a good mother, lack of a healthy daughter. It can't be that. It can't be. It cannot be that. Right. No, it's you. It's you. There's something inside you that's getting in your way. No matter what age you are, there is one major piece inside you that if you would fix that major piece, everything in your life would work better.
And how do you fix it?
Oh, that's a different question.
Because they know what bothers
you. Okay, good.
And each year it's the same thing.
Okay, that's how you know that's your tikkun. If each year it's the same thing, that is your tikkun, because it's the thing that keeps coming up and keeps coming up and keeps coming up, and you try to attack it from this way and you try to attack it that way, but it keeps coming up. That's your tikkun. That's how you know for sure you hit the right thing. Okay, write it down. That's all. That's all we're doing right now. Write it down.
To work on the thing that's hard.
The thing that's in your way the most. It might be hardest. It probably is hardest. But it's in your way the most. The thing that's most in your way.
It's more in your that making noise.
It might be. It might be making noise in your head, or it might not be. Like if it's, let's say, organization, right? That so that doesn't make a noise in your head. You need more noise in your head about organization to make organization work, right? But it's the thing that gets in your way. You can't accomplish things because you didn't plan for it properly and you didn't organize it properly and you have too much stuff in that room, so you can't even use that room well, and you can't use that day well, and you can't use that time well because you're not organized. So if organization is the thing, it might not be noisy, it might be an absence of noise. No.
You know what I'm saying? One is like more exterior. One is your essence.
Yes. So you're looking for your main.
So it can't be just one.
It could be just one. It could be, you're saying for a positive or for a negative?
Like to fix. Because if somebody had to fix honesty, for example, that's more important. And you can't say laziness and way of fixing
that. Well, you could. Because it could be, let's say you have a problem telling the truth. So right, first you're thinking, honesty. Honesty is my problem, I don't tell the truth often enough. And it gets me into trouble. Why don't I tell the truth though? Really, maybe it's because I'm lazy. Because I just don't feel like doing everything I was told to do or everything I have to do, so I lie about it. And I say, yes, I did pick that up at the cleaners. Yes, I did finish that project. Yes, I did put that in the freezer. And meanwhile, the meat is spoiling because it didn't go in the freezer. And there's not the suit for Shabbos because I didn't pick it up from the cleaners. And so it's really laziness, not honesty. But honesty is on top, right? So it could, it depends, you know. Or it could be a lack of self-esteem. If you see honesty first, it might be you lie a lot because you don't feel good about yourself. So you have to see what's causing, like what brings it all together. Yeah.
I'd like to ask, I have a recurring illness. It comes up a lot. Maybe I'm several days a month out of action. So then I try too hard to do everything. So I'm always in a sort of a whirlwind of time that, oh, so I didn't do this because I had this time off. Or maybe I have also after half days and things that I'm not moving well. So I get to a point where I'm always trying too hard to get everything done. So then I don't know if that's organized.
So that might not be organization, it might be realistic expectations of self. Right? You might have unrealistic expectations of what you can accomplish. And that might be in your way on a regular basis. I'm not saying that's it for sure. I'm saying that might be something. Right? So or actually coming into recognition of what you're capable of. And the distance between what you're capable of and what you wish you could do.
Maybe. What I try to force myself to do.
Right.
Because then I get into the other.
Right. So if that's what's regularly in your way, then there is some name for it. So it's not the illness. It can't be that because that's part of your life. That's not what's in your way. What's in your way is not planning around it properly or taking on too much stuff so that you don't have space in your schedule to handle it when it comes up, or whatever it is, but you have to figure out what is that issue. But if that's something that you're always playing catch up, then it is something to look at.
Another question. Well, it's
example that you find out which is ridiculous, and then you start trying to fix it. But every time that you try to fix, you feel bad because it's like, I don't know, it's part of you that you you cannot do it, and you feel, and then you feel bad about yourself, and then you feel bad because you cannot do it. So how you?
Okay, so so if you find a tikkun, and that's the thing that comes up for you all the time, it's pretty clear that is your tikkun. Okay. Now the question is a separate question: how to feel about yourself. So we often judge ourselves very harshly, and it's not necessary. We do have to have more tolerance for ourselves. So I'll tell you one of my exercises for self-tolerance and for other tolerance. And that is the bracha, borei nefeshot rabot. Okay, so when I make that bracha, I think. So there's a blessing that we say after we eat many different types of snacks. And the blessing is a strange blessing. I'll have to explain it in Hebrew, and then I'll go back to the English, but you'll see. So the blessing is, borei nefeshot rabot v'chesronan. Thank you, God. This is an after blessing for food. You'll see it doesn't make sense at all. Thank you, God, for creating many different types of life and their deficiencies. Al kol ma shebarata, on everything you created. That's the whole clause. It's not a sentence. Baruch Chei Ha'olamim. Blessed are you, life giver to the worlds. It's a weird blessing. It has nothing to do with food. Oh, L'Chayo Bem Nefesh Kol Chai, right. To give them living life, right? It also doesn't work, though, as a sentence. But the blessing does not make sense. Not grammatically. And thematically, it's difficult, too. But what one thing, I'm not going to explain the whole blessing, I don't understand, but what I get out of it is especially the beginning, okay? God made all different kinds of life with deficiencies. Each one of us was purposefully created by God as, do you know what Swiss cheese looks like?
Yeah.
With holes, right? We are Swiss cheese people. We're people created on purpose with holes. It's not by mistake. It's on purpose. Each one of those holes, every single one, is a special invitation by God to become a co-creator with God. Hashem says, I started you off as a blob, and you make yourself into a mensch. I'll start you off with the raw material, and you fill in the holes. But if you could look at it as, I am missing so much, I'm worthless. Or you could look at it as, wow, Hashem loves me so much that He wants to empower me to create a human being, me. And so I have all this room to be very creative about how I fill those holes. And so I could be thankful. When I say that blessing, I'm being thankful for my holes, right? Right.
Give you the confidence that
right.
You can do it.
Right. So, but not only is it me, not only does Hashem love me, that He made me with all those holes, but Hashem loves my husband, because He gave a lot of holes to my husband too. And for sure my children are filled with holes. Right?
We're holy people.
We're very holy people.
We're very holy people. You can take it both
exactly.
Ways.
We are a very holy people. So, Baruch Hashem.
But we fill it in, we become holy.
That's right. And we fill it in, we can become a very holy,
holy
people. Right.
People.
Right. So,
there you go.
The positive effect of the holes is that each individual hole is an invitation by Hashem for you to co-create. Hashem created the cheese part and the hole part. You get to create filling in the holes. Another way to get the same information that you could think about, anybody who says morning blessings, which not everybody says every day, but some people say once in a while, some people say on a daily basis, but one of them is Sha'asali Kol Tzarki. One way to interpret that is, thank you, God, who made for me everything that I need, right? Or the exact same Hebrew, Sha'asali Kol Tzarki, who made for me everything that I need. Meaning, I don't need anything except for what you made me need. I wouldn't need anything except for you made me not have it. You made my need for me. Not that you gave me what I need, right? Do you hear? It works both ways. Sha'asali Kol Tzarki, you made for me everything I need. Or, you made all my needs. I wouldn't need it if you didn't make me need it. You made all my needs. Oh, so what I'm saying is, if you hop, if you understand, if you realize that every need that you have is a gift of asking you to come and grow, where Hashem says you could be bigger than you are, you could be stronger than you are, you could be more than you are, come, I'll show you how, I'll give you a big hole to fill in. If you see it that way, then you can be thankful for it. Right? That's really what a test is, in a way. Right? A test is when you're standing right at the edge of the cliff, and Hashem says, I really want you to grow, and he beckons you and says, come, grow with me. And you stand there saying, I don't think so, I'm not jumping. He says, okay, come, grow with me. And he pushes you off the edge. Then you don't have any choice. You could be falling and falling and falling, but it's your option to start flying, right? Sometimes you hit the ground and you have to get up and figure it out. Yeah, not always. Sometimes we really have to learn how to deal with the bruises. You know, sometimes it's really hard. You know, I Baruch Hashem, have a fabulous son-in-law who is a quadriplegic. Quadriplegic means all four limbs. Quadriplegic. He's in a wheelchair, and quadriplegic means there's paralysis in all four limbs. Doesn't mean total, he can use his arms a little bit. He doesn't have any feeling below the waist, right? So Hashem for sure pushed him off a cliff, almost literally, and that's why it happened, right? And he's married to a beautiful girl, my daughter, right? And it happened before he got married. But it's a whole different story. But the point is, sometimes you have to learn how
and
to
you
live.
Marry him like that?
Sometimes you have to learn how to live with the broken bones because they are your invitation.
You should tell us your story.
Yeah, it's too late. You'll have to wait till next time I come.
you can tell it after.
Yeah, I could tell it after. It's a long story. That's a good story.
Your son-in-law could have broken bone, but he doesn't have a broken heart.
That's so true. It's true. He had to work, though, very hard. It was actually... But think about it. It was actually for him, it was a huge effort to not have a broken heart and not a broken neshama. Because here is a boy who loved to learn. He was in the Mir. He was going back for his fifth year at the Mir. And he also ran a wilderness camp during the summertime for boys, Orthodox boys, who went hiking and climbing and canoeing, and he went rock climbing and he taught them how. And he was driving the boys on for a camping trip with four canoes behind, and off the road he went. And now he can't move like that ever again. Right? Hashem should make a miracle. According to nature, he won't be able to. According to miracles, they could always happen. So we hope for one. But he had to make a decision. How will he grow through this? How can you make the most of what you have? This life is very short. And all of us here, except for you, not you, all of us here know enough to know that life is short and getting shorter, right? Every day, we're closer to whatever the end, and it should be a long time, but it's short. But this is not our life. This is just a gestational period, just a pregnancy period. We're pregnant with our souls, and we have to use our bodies to grow our soul to be as healthy as we can for the next stage of life. So if we understand that, then we could be thankful for all the difficulties because we know that Hashem is offering us the opportunity to grow. So I'll tell you one of my favorite stories from high school. I don't have a lot of high school stories, but this is one of them. So I was in a ballet class. I went to a performing arts high school. Right, so in ballet, there's a way to hold your body, right? So you have to, you know, have your shoulder. I never got my shoulders down all the way, but there's a way, right? So, but if your elbow is sagging or your hand goes like that, or your tush goes out, or you're like this, right? So the teacher walks around with a stick, and she whaps you. Whaps your tush, whaps your elbow, whaps your hand, whaps your shoulders. She hits you to remind you, you know what to do. You should be pointing, you should be holding, you should be whatever it is. And she just gives you a little, like, a tap to remind you. One day we had a pretty new girl in the class. Only been there a few times, and the teacher was all over her. Whapping this and whapping that and whapping this. And she started to cry. She said, it's so not fair. You're always hitting me. You're constantly hitting me. It's so not fair. Why are you hitting me all the time? So my teacher was very dramatic, like ballet teachers can be. She stopped the music and she said, don't you cry because I correct you. I correct you because I see potential. You cry the day I stop, because that's when I gave up on you.
Wow.
Right? So that stick is like in the 23rd Psalm. Shiftecha umishantecha hema yenachamuni. Your rod and your staff. A shepherd has one stick. It's only one stick, but he uses that stick to climb. And he uses that stick to hit the sheep, right? It's a rod and a staff. One is used for hitting, one is used for support, but it's the same stick. So we say that to Hashem. Your rod and your staff, the stick that supports, the stick that whaps, they both comfort me because I know you care. The day to cry is when Hashem gives up, right? When he says, you're not worth it anymore, I'm not bothering. Right. So all the whaps are invitations. Come and grow. You're not here for that long. You could manage it, right? What is it? 70 years? 90 years? 120 years? You could do anything for 120 years. Because you have eternity after that. And you want to grow your soul while you have a chance. This is the only soul-growing place that you get. After that, it's a soul-living place, but you don't get to grow it. Others could help you grow it. But this is where you grow it, and that's where you live in it. So, okay, got it? So your tikkun is your invitation. It's your biggest invitation for growth. And do you have to feel bad about yourself if you keep working on it? No. Just do it again. Do it again. And say, thank you, Hashem, for giving me this hard test. Thank you, Hashem, for helping me identify my major area of weakness. I appreciate it. Please help me overcome it. And you just try again and again and again. And you will, most likely, not promises, you'll probably fail a lot. But each time, hopefully you take one step and one step. But it's what it is the decision to work with it. The decision to fill it in as much as you can. Right? To work with what you have and not drop it off.
If you already fixed your tikkun, then you have another tikkun?
You usually can't fix your tikkun. You might have fixed a big flaw that's permanently fixed, but there has to be another one because there has to be resistance training. It's like working in a weight room, right? So what if you figured out one of the machines, right? You go to a gym. Obviously, I don't. But I've been to one once or twice in my life. I know there's a lot of machines there, right? Let's say you got to the point where you could work that machine with all the weights that are there, right? You stack every single one on, and it's a piece of cake. You can work it no problem, right? Are you done? It doesn't mean the machine next to it you could work no problem, or the machine next to that. There's always, and that's just a different muscle in your body. There's always a place you could make stronger. And the stronger you get, the stronger you can become. So if you fix something big, there's something else big waiting for you. You'll be able to fix that too. Yes, so it really depends on how you look at it, right? So it could be an invitation and exciting. Or it could be depressing. So my view of Judaism in general.
Arisa, maybe someone that feels that she fixed, maybe she has projects. Not to fix something, but to push for something.
There's usually something, not always, but usually some major flaw that we each have, if not several.
No, I of course I have, but I'm thinking about someone that feels that maybe she fixed.
If somebody fixes their main flaw, they die. Okay. I mean, that's it. I mean, they
often. Well, fixing the main flaw is not the only mission. There's accomplishing also.
That's
you know?
What I'm telling. Maybe
right.
She has to accomplish.
Oh, both. For sure, both. Yeah, it's not just fixing your flaw. It's just that flaw is the main thing in the way of you accomplishing what you want to accomplish. But actually, they're both what you need to do. Both the fixing and the accomplishing.
They go
together. No. Not always the same. No, but they do go together. Meaning they go together in your life work. That you always have to be fixing something at the same time that you're building something. So. It's very intertwined for many. It could be separate for some. It's possible. But in general, it's very intertwined. And in general, your yield statement should be big enough that you can't accomplish it. Because it's not about accomplishing. It's about being in process. What's your constant process? Where are you always headed? It's not that you want to achieve it. It's that you always want to be working towards it.
What about lack of faith?
Lack of emunah? Right. I'm actually learning more about that now. I just started learning Da'at Tvunot with Rabbi Edelstein, who is my boss, the top guy in Israel for Ne'el Elef. And I just sent him a question about that, because he talked about lack of emunah, about the difference between Havana, understanding things, and Yediyah, knowing things, and emunah, straddling those two things, and Sfeikot, the role of doubt, in the middle, and how the role of doubt helps one grow. That's all I heard so far. I don't know enough yet, but it was very intriguing to me. So I sent him an email saying, could you please discuss that more in the next class? So you'll have to wait till next time I come back. I don't know. But yes, lack of emunah is definitely something to work on, for sure. It's probably not the main tikkun. Probably not. It's probably something deeper. Pardon? A lack of emunah. Missing emunah. Yeah. Right. Okay, so I just want to answer just for a minute. So there are a few different ways to perceive it, and this is personality based. You are probably internally wired to see life in different ways. It doesn't mean you can't change it, but it does mean that's your starting point. Because as Jews, we can always reinvent ourselves. Always. Always. Even if you are wired from birth to think a certain way or feel a certain way, you can change yourself. You just need to see who you are, set a goal, and work towards it. But you for sure can change yourself. You are not locked into what you were born like. So, some people see it very exciting. Some people see it as a disaster. So, I personally, as soon as I discovered Judaism, I felt like it was a gift. Such a gift, and wrapped beautifully, right? Tear open the wrapping paper, open the box, and what's inside? Another present. Did you ever get a present where it's wrapped inside a present?
Yeah.
Usually the present that's inside is smaller, right? Because it has to fit inside the box. But not Judaism, not for me. When I open it up and open the box and take out the present, it's bigger. And I open it up and I take out the box and it's bigger. And I open it up and I take out the box and it's bigger. And to me, it's so exciting that there always is something new to learn, a new dimension, a new skill to incorporate, a new thing to work on, a new place to go. It's amazing. So that's the way I see it. And then I was on the phone with a Hasidic friend in New Square. And she said to me with despair, don't you feel like you can never catch the bus? You're running and running and running and you can never catch it. No matter how hard you run, no matter how fast, you're always out of breath, you're always in the dust, and you can never catch it. It's the same way of seeing that it's always bigger, right? Except for I am excited about it, and she is depressed by it.
Because it's two perspectives. One is excited.
Yes, it is.
The process, and the other one wants to reach a finite goal.
Right. Right. So, if you think you're going to get there, I'll tell you right now, you won't. Right? That's the klal. That is a rule. And we're even released from that in Pirkei Avot, where it says, Lo alecha hamlacha ligmor. It's not your job to finish the project. And you may never stop trying. So you always have to be putting forth effort. That's what defines you, the effort, the direction that you're going in. But you're never going to get there, and it's okay. It's fine. You can't achieve the ultimate goal. The process is the thing. We like to achieve. That's why we like a bar mitzvah. That's why we like a wedding. That's why we like a bris. Those are all times when we can stop for 1 second and feel like, oh, I did it. This child, I was able to keep this child going until bar mitzvah, and he still talks to me. Okay.
I never finished anything. I said, I don't understand. I had 9 kids. I had 9 complete pregnancies.
Good, all right. That's good. And not everybody has that, for sure. But and a wedding is a time, and there are times when we want to rest. Stepping stones, but you're not ever done. You're never done raising a child. I remember telling my mother when I was busy having quite a few children, I come from 2 children and I have 6. Right? So after the 4th, and I was still looking for a 5th or more, so my mother looked at me and she said, you know, I don't know what you're thinking, but it's a lot of work to raise children. So I naively told her that it's an 18-year investment and then you get dividends after that forever. She said, oh no, it is not an 18-year investment. I moved out of my house when I was 16, so I'm thinking a regular person stays till 18. That's all you have to do. 18 years, and you're done, and then it's dividends forever, right? I had no clue. So she looked at me very seriously and said, oh no, it is not. She said, remember my friend Patty? Well, she just separated with her boyfriend and moved back in with her parents, and she's 50. And I thought, 50? I totally changed my perspective on how long you might have to be investing. But now I have a little more perspective, and I see, of course, it's a lifelong investment. You can never, ever finish raising your child, ever. And you can never finish raising your inner child, so yourself too. You know, really, your mother raises you for like the first 20-ish years, and then you have to take over. But your mother's still at your back, right? My mother still is always telling me to sit up straight, put my shoulders down, like, you know. She's all over me with that. Every time she comes, she's like trying to massage my shoulders so they'll go back and I won't be hunched. She's like, you'll breathe better if you can open up your shoulders. I know. I've been hearing that for 47 years. I'm more comfortable if I sit like this. So, right. So it's a constant investment. So you cannot finish the job. She'll never be happy with exactly. She's happy. But there's always room for improvement. I could stand better, I could sit better, right? So, and if I do stand better, so she'll find something else. So that's the way it goes, and with ourselves too.
She'll have to look at your list.
Right. She's actually been very good. So a mother can be very helpful. My mother's been very helpful in my journey, for sure. So, anyway, so tikkun, so you get it now, right? That's your main flaw that you want to write. See it as an invitation. Don't judge yourself too harshly. Just know that you could keep growing and keep growing. Take another step. That's the main thing. It's not finishing the project. That's the goal. It's being in constant effort. That's the goal. Always working towards more. Better you. And so fixing the back and moving towards the front. Always, always, always. Okay, so that's your area of tikkun. So hopefully you have a word or two for that. Where is my list? Yeah.
Otherwise, you say, I want to say something. That if you are prepared to change, to have a flexible mind.
Uh-huh.
How do you say it?
Flexible.
Flexible mind. You have to accept changes.
Oh, for sure.
If you recognize and you accept, you change. Because if you are doing things that doesn't take you to your goal, so you have to change.
Yes and no. You do have to be flexible, but that's why you want a very large goal statement. Because if you like make your goal very narrow, let's say you really care about women's health, right? So if your yield is to make sure that immunizations are available to all women, okay? You could achieve that, or that could even not work in your life so well. Like, how does that work with your family? Maybe you're working towards that, but it's not big enough. It needs to be empowering, something like empowering women to access to health care that will keep them healthy and their families healthy. So that way it could, or empowering the health of women. And that way you could use it in your family too, that you want to pay special attention to how things work. It's that, and you might have to change it. I'm just trying to think if I can make that big enough. You do have to be flexible. Sometimes, let's say it's even, that's pretty narrow, empowering the health of women. You might want health. Right? Maybe health is your thing. Making health care available to as many people as possible, or healthy choices available. So then in your own family, you're serving healthy foods. You're setting an example by keeping your own body healthy. You're working towards things. Your tzedakah goes towards that. Your main efforts go to that. You're going to try to find a job in that if you can. So that your efforts go towards one thing. So you do have to be flexible, but you, if you have a broad enough yield, then you can still work towards it. Now let's say, for instance, everybody heard my yield, right? It's very broad. But let's say that for whatever reason I needed to take a year off to help one of my kids raise, I don't know, I mean, I hope the next baby should be healthy for my daughter-in-law, but she already has a 3-year-old and a Down syndrome 14-month-old, and she's expecting a third. It should be healthy, the third one. But let's just say in another family there was a situation like that, not in ours, where the third baby wasn't as healthy as you might expect. It could be that a grandmother would need to take a year off of whatever she's doing to help, you know, a first or even a second year getting that launched to make sure that things work well. So you might have to take off from your youth because you have an immediate thing that you have to do right then. Right then. It has to be taken care of.
I don't know, talking about very huge goals. Someone that I don't feel that I have such a